Hey everyone, I got another episode of the Road to Revenue series. Today's episode is one of my favorites, How to Become a Ferocious Buddha. And I'm going to talk about 12 lessons, step by step, from the Sanskrit on how to be a ferocious Buddha. Tweet me at David Meltzer your favorite takeaway from today's episode and check the show notes to see how you can contact me at any time.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Well, hello everyone. Over 20 years of free Friday trainings, and I'm so excited to be here. This is the first time I've done this training. It is the Ferocious Buddha training. I call it the 12 lessons taken from Sanskrit to be a ferocious Buddha. And a ferocious Buddha knows how to blend persistence with patience. A ferocious Buddha is the dichotomy of living and learning, finding the light. And the first lesson of being a ferocious Buddha, the first lesson, by the way, if anybody wants the 12 lessons of the ferocious Buddha or the exercises for this, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want my books, exercises, guides, everything's for free. I'll ship it to you if you want for free. I'll pay for it. david@dmeltzer.com. Use it. Please learn how to be a ferocious Buddha. Lesson number one of being a ferocious Buddha, that you will be given a body. What does that mean? You'll be given a body. Lesson one is to know that you need to prioritize as a non-negotiable taking care of yourself, taking care of your body. You will receive only one body in this journey and you better prioritize it. It's a non-negotiable. You will receive a body, prioritizes. If you cannot take care of yourself, you can't take care of anyone else. This was a lesson I actually only truly took to heart as a non-negotiable 2.5, maybe 3 years ago when I was putting my family first. And then I was putting the activity I got paid for second. Then I was putting my health third. The problem was, is if you don't put your health, your idea, your lesson of being a ferocious Buddha, that you receive one body, then you'll never take care of it. Because everyone will take care of their family before themselves. Everybody will take care of activity they get paid for before themselves. And there's left just the residual time, effort, emotion. You have to make it a non-negotiable, an adaptable routine that when things happen, that you will put a minimum, for me, it's an hour a day towards my health. You can put whatever time you want. 7 days a week. Rule number one of being a ferocious Buddha is you will receive only one body in this journey. And so always take that in consideration of your non-negotiable that you will stay healthy. Two, that body that you're given, lesson number two, will learn lessons. That's why you're here. Just like a game, you will have to learn the lessons, pay the dummy tax, receive the situational knowledge in order to effectuate what you want. In order to get what you want in this journey, you are here with the sole purpose, of receiving value of your body. So you will be able to then understand that you're here for lessons. So whatever's happened to you, your first priority should be, well, I'm only here to learn lessons. I'm only here to learn lessons. So how do we do that? We have to institute the ability to find those lessons. Instead of searching for what we don't want, what's missing, et cetera, the idea of there are no problems, there's only lessons. Why? Because if we have the solution, there would be no problem. How do we find the solution? By learning the lesson. There's a direct relationship between lessons and pain, mistakes, and failures. That pain, mistakes, and failures lead you to the lessons that put you in a better place. You receive one body, lesson number one, lesson number two. Our journey is here to learn, to accelerate, grow, and learn. And at times when we're accelerating, growing, and learning, we're going to feel stuck because we haven't learned the lesson. And we won't unstick ourselves until we've learned that lesson. There is no pain, no problems when you have the solution. And so for me, the easiest way to learn lessons is to find people who have already learned the lesson to teach you, to give you directions. The easiest way to find out where you want to go is find someone that's where you want to go and ask them for directions. So what do we need to do in order to effectuate lesson number two? We need to ask for help. We need to be more interested than interesting. We have the great ability through this great thing called the internet to access people who have already learned the lessons or access the lessons themselves. I think it's more critical than when I was a child, we were supposed to learn the actual lesson. I think it's more critical to access the lesson, to be able to have a capability, a skill set, knowledge, desire to access the lesson or the solution. Rule number three. Rule number three is that we will have no mistakes, only lessons. We will have no mistakes, only lessons. What does that mean? That pain or mistakes or failures are the doorway, the hallway to the lessons. That it's an indicator, not a stop sign. It's simply a turn signal that a mistake or pain or a problem is an indicator that you have a lesson to learn. There are no mistakes then. If mistakes are doorways, hallways, or turn signals, then there are no mistakes. So there's no reason to focus in on what's missing, what you don't want, or the mistakes that you've had in the past. The past is positive if you what? Learn the lesson. There will be no speed bumps behind you if what? You've learned the lesson. There will be no speed bumps similar to the ones behind you if what? You've learned the lesson. There are no mistakes. There are only lessons. This mindset is difficult because when we have resistance, void, shortages, obstacles, mistakes, failures, pain, we immediately think that it's real. But it dissipates, dissolves, and disappears immediately when what? You learn the lesson. So you need to know that this life is about lessons with your one body, but there are no mistakes, pain, void, shortages, obstacles. There are only lessons. And when we see this abundant universe of infinity and limitlessness of those lessons, our entire perspective and energy shifts and we get less of the mistakes, failures, and obstacles and voids. We don't repeat the same things when we're in search of the lessons instead of focusing in on the road bumps, the speed bumps behind us. The fourth lesson is a lesson will be repeated until it's learned. And this is a huge one for people. Lessons are repeated until they're learned. So when you feel stuck, it's only because you haven't learned the lessons. When you think you have problems, you haven't learned the lesson. When you have pain in your life, you haven't learned the lessons. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, especially financial pain. You just haven't learned the lesson last. So instead of rejoicing, reviving, focusing attention and intention and creating the same coincidence again and again and again, the pain itself, the mistake itself will consistently be repeated until only one thing. You've learned the lesson. In other words, there will be an illusion of a problem until it dissipates, dissolves, or disappears because you've learned the lesson. Once again, the easiest way to learn a lesson is to find someone who already learned it that to teach it to you instead of having to experience it yourself. It is okay to experience yourself, but my initial reaccess is to access the answers in person, on the phone, via email, media, wherever I can find it. We have been giving ubiquitous environment of education and access where we can find the lessons and the solutions faster than ever. We don't have to continually put our hands repetitively in a fire to say it burns. We can go ahead, just like our central nervous system, immediately find the indicator of why that burns, what that mistake and why it happened, and learn the lessons. But we have to remember the lessons will repeat themselves until they're learned. The fifth lesson, learning lessons does not end. It's infinity. It's limitless. We don't know what we don't know. Limitlessness. We cannot put a finite perspective that, oh, I've learned that lesson. I don't have to learn anything else. And so many people do in so many ways. They use their ego, the need to be right, the need to be superior, in order to effectuate some closed-ended, closed-minded journey that just results in more pain. But the lessons and learning the lessons will never end. And these are the ferocious Buddha lessons taken from the Sanskrit before anything was created. These lessons have been around longer than the Buddhas. These lessons will allow you to blend ferociousness with patience and Buddhism, enlightenment, whatever you want to define it, the ferocious Buddha, he knows and she knows that they are happy where they're at, exactly where they're at, but they are learning lessons to get to a better place, a better position by having faith in those lessons and why they're here. Lesson number six, there, T-H-E-R-E, is no better than here. There, it's just a T different, is no better than here. You need to utilize the law of gravity as a ferocious Buddha. I am happy where I'm at. First step, learn to love you and where you're at and the lessons that you haven't learned yet and the lessons that you have. There is no better than here. It's that simple. So many people are condemned because they've attached their emotions, their perspective to an illusion of there instead of putting internally a perspective of I'm here and I'm happy to be here. I'm at the right place at the perfect time. I'm happy with here. Do I want to angle and learn more lessons to get to somewhere better? Yes, but there will be no better than here. It's just that I will learn more lessons. I always have to stay present. And how do we do that? We know that emotion isn't overcome by logic. The lessons are learned through activity. Action changes our emotion. Our feelings will only change with action. And the action that I suggest you take is learning, exponentially growing, accelerating. And if you take that perspective of learning, it will be incredible to know that there, I'm not going to attach my emotions, be happy when I graduate, be happy when I'm a millionaire, be happy when this is over, be happy when, no, because that makes there better than here. I am happy where I'm at. I'm in the great place at the perfect time. Rule number seven, others merely are mirrors of you. Others are mirrors of you. If we think about what a mirror is, they are a reflection of self. What we see in others is what we see in ourselves. What we're afraid of in others is what we're afraid of ourselves. I tell a story about my father who forgot my 10th birthday after leaving when I was five, was a hero. I still have that need to be guilty because my mom would sit there, never say a bad thing about him. And I would say, you know, as he's, you know, was a deadbeat dad, not giving child support. Why can't you be more like dad? He's my hero. Why can't you like be like dad? But you know, my mom's working two jobs, packing my dinner in a paper bag with complete humility and unconditional love. And my dad forgets my birthday when I'm 10 and worse off than forgetting my birthday, he lies and says he doesn't believe in birthdays. Even though he's celebrating his own birthday, his girlfriend's birthday, who was closer to my age than his, who, you know, every one of my siblings' birthdays. Meanwhile, for 20 years, I hate my father. I wish I knew the ferocious Buddha rule of others are just a mirror of ourselves, because all the things I hated in all the family members, friends, even in my wife at times, if I just would have learned the ferocious Buddha lesson number seven, others are mirrors of myself, because it took a valuable lesson and I wasted so many years of enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of the potential of my relationship with my biological father by not understanding that he was a mirror of self, that I didn't hate him at all. I didn't hate him because he was an overseller. I didn't hate him because he was a back-end seller. I didn't hate him because he was a liar, a manipulator, a cheat. I didn't hate him for any of those reasons. I hated myself. And once I understood lesson number seven, that others are a mirror of myself, I found peace and forgiveness. I found accountability, not living in blame, shame, and justification, thinking somehow that I was separate from the mirror that I saw. I lived in gratitude because I looked for now and found the light, the love, and most importantly, the ferocious Buddha 12 lessons. I look for those lessons to know that others are mirrors of ourselves. So if you're frustrated, angry, separate from, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful, offended by others, find out what you don't like about yourself. Learn to love you. Number eight, what you make of your life is up to you. Not what you make of your life is up to other people. Not what you make of your life is up to where you were born, who you were born with, not who you surround yourself with. It's up to you. It's up to you to imagine what you want, to make it a possibility, to be inspired, to make it a probability, to utilize these lessons of a ferocious Buddha, to utilize the strategy of a ferocious Buddha, the awareness and discipline of a ferocious Buddha, to know these 12 lessons of a ferocious Buddha, to make that probability your perspective, to make it your perspective. What you make of your life is up to only one person, you. You are already health. You are already wealth. You are already happiness. Figure out the lessons to relieve and reduce and dissipate and disappear the interference between you and what already are and what you are connected through and to. When you realize it's up to you, that you have complete control through gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability to live inspired, in spirit, connected to and through not only the greatest source of power, light, and lessons of the 12 ferocious Buddha lessons, but through to everyone else to teach them, to elevate them, to empower them with the same 12 lessons so that they too can live in peace, happiness, health, and wealth of a ferocious Buddha. But it's all up to you. Clear away the interference. You are the only thing that stands between possibility and probability, and more importantly, probability and your perspective. Utilize your imagination to think about what you want, inspiration to make it a probability, and then strategy, discipline, and awareness of the lessons of the ferocious Buddha taken from Sanskrit to effectuate it and get out of your way. It's up to you to do it. Number eight, number nine, life, this is a great one. Life is exactly what you think it is. In other words, you give meaning to everything you see. You give meaning to everything you see. Think about it. You are the only one who is exactly what you think. Nobody else can share the world that you live in. Nobody else can share or feel the way you do. Nobody else can make you feel a certain way, and you can't make people feel a certain way because your life is what you think it is. If you think it's what's missing, it'll be what's missing. If you think it's what you don't have, it's going to be what you don't have. If you think it's everything you ever dreamed of and more, it'll be everything you dreamed of and more. You need to know that there's no better. There is no better than here, that you're exactly where you're supposed to be at the right place at the perfect time to learn these lessons, to angle to what you want. But you need to have the faith that everything is what you think it is. And you can find the light, the love, and the lessons. You can take control and expand, grow, and accelerate what you want in your life. Life is exactly what you think it is. I can take two people, put them in the exact same position, and they can have two completely separate experiences and journeys and results. Why? Because life is exactly what you think it is. And until you take accountability for that and control of that, you will never think the right things. When you think that other people give meaning to what you want, that other people give meaning to what you see, you'll never have what you want, what you see. Why give and allow other people to steal our joy? Why give them control when you are the only one that gives life what you think it is? So think what you want, imagine it, become inspired, and make that probability your perspective. Life is what you think it is, nobody else. It's exactly what you think it is. Number 10, all answers, as a ferocious Buddha, all answers are found one place, inside of you. Like I said, logic can't change the way you feel. Activities can, lessons will, and all those lessons are found within you because you project and see what you want your life to be, what you think it is. You give meaning to everything you see, and it's the meaning that makes us feel a certain way. We need to give life the correct meaning, and your purpose has to be greater than the lessons. Your purpose has to be greater than the pain, the mistakes, the lessons. It has to be greater. And there's only one place those answers lie, inside of you. You can access them, but they lie inside of you already. You already have it. You can access them by clearing away what's interfering between you and the answers and the lessons, clearing it away through your activities that you have planned, you don't have planned, even your sleep. You can access all of those lessons, but only search one place, inside of you. You cannot see outside of you what you can't find inside of you. This is where the lessons lie. And all of these lessons of ferocious, being a ferocious Buddha, lie inside of you, which gives you what? Enormous power, enormous light, and an unlimited infinity of lessons. We need to look within. When we feel a certain way, we need to look within. When things aren't going the way that we plan, we need to look within. When we want to angle towards what we want, we need to look within. When we don't feel healthy, wealthy, and happy, we need to look within and see what's interfering with our health, our wealth, and our happiness. Now, the last two lessons are my favorite. Those are the first 10 lessons of being a ferocious Buddha, of being able to utilize, you receive one body in this life, so appreciate it, take care of it, prioritize it, make it a non-negotiable. You will learn lessons with that body. That's why we're here in this journey. There are no mistakes. There are only lessons. So we know that we're constantly learning, growing, accelerating exponentially in a manner of compound interest. A lesson will be repeated until it's learned. So if we feel stuck or we have the same repetition or a thermostat in life, just as indicating that we have a lesson to learn. Learning lessons will never end. It does not end. So we're consistently always learning lessons. There is no better than here. There is no better than here. So, make sure that you are grounded with the law of gravity, utilizing the law of Goya, get off your ass to learn those lessons, to effectuate clearing the interference for the law of attraction to learn those lessons. Others only mirror you. So when you're not feeling, seeing, and doing the right things, that reflection is of you, not of the people. What you make of your life is only up to you. Life is exactly what you think of it. You give meaning to everything you see. And number 10, as I say, all answers reside inside of you. There's only one place to look. You can't find outside of you what you can't see inside. So number 11, this is the one that rocked my world. Number 11, after all of that, from 1 to 10, as a ferocious Buddha, we have to have one thing, humility, radical humility. We don't know what we don't know. That we're limited by the body that we've given, the conscious continuum of the amount of information that we can understand in a cellular memory, a neuropathic pathway, or a quantum DNA, an epigenetic DNA of our quantum consciousness there. It's difficult to understand, but lesson 11, you will forget all of this. The lesson of radical humility. That we do not have the capacity to remember any of this, 1 through 10. That is why, no matter how many times I tell people to be thankful, I tell them I'll send you a signed copy of my book and pay for shipping if you can say thank you twice a day for 30 straight days. It took me 9 months because I forgot all of this. I still forget some say thank you, to ask, to be inspired. I get in my own way with the need to be offended and right and separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, and angry all the time. Rule number 11, we will forget all of this. I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I've learned before. I'm going to forget all of it. It's so important in this process of the first 10 rules to have radical humility so that we can access the answers and ask for help and live in happiness, knowing that we give meaning to it all, but we're going to forget it all the lessons, and that we want to only spend minutes and moments trying to figure out repetitive lessons. We want to make sure that we're utilizing practices to get back to what we've learned and what we are already. We want to figure out what are the things that interfere with us remembering all of this. Remember, reunite, recollect. That's all it is. But if you want to remember, recollect, reunite with everything and everyone, you have to have radical humility and know that you will forget all of this. So then when somebody has you an action item for you to do, or you were supposed to remember to do and you forget, have the radical humility. I don't know what I don't know. I'm doing my best. What are the three things that help me within the context of these 10 lessons? One, did you do your best? Knowing that you're going to forget it. Two, did you learn anything? Either the first time or again. And three, did you have fun? Are you happy doing it? Those are the three things that help effectuate the radical humility of the fact that Rule 11 states of being a ferocious Buddha, taken from Sanskrit, that you will forget all of this. Radical humility. And then finally, most powerful thing today, more apparent than ever, as I have learned, you can remember it whenever you want. Whenever you want. You can remember things that you may not even remember. You can remember all the lessons whenever you want. You just have to determine what you're doing to interfere with the lessons that you've learned. Remember, recollect, reunite with what you are, health, happiness, wealth, already. What's interfering with it? You can remember it whenever you want. Never before have we had the technology to remember things that we didn't even know we didn't know. By accessing information, by asking for help, by searching, by being curious, by being more interested than interesting, you will remember whenever you want all of the lessons, so that you too can be a ferocious Buddha. You can blend the patience and persistence. You can clear away the interference of happiness, health, and wealth in your own life. The 12 lessons to be a ferocious Buddha. They're yours. If you want them, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want my book to describe in detail possibilities, probabilities, and perspective, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. You can join me every Friday to do this. We have TV show, podcast, The Playbook, host all of these trainings to access whenever you want to remember the 12 lessons of a ferocious Buddha or any of the other things we've done over the last 20 years. You can access it anytime you want on The Playbook. It's featured on Spotify and Google, on Apple, wherever you want it. david@dmeltzer.com. Reach out to me. Free guides, exercise. I'm happy to give you these lessons. You can access them whenever you want. So, number one, you have received one body. Take care of it. Prioritize, non-negotiable, your health. You cannot take care of others unless you take care of yourself. You are here to learn lessons. You will learn those lessons. There are only no mistakes, no failures, no pain, just lessons. Lessons will be repeated until you learn them. Learning lessons will never end. There is no better than here. Others are only mirrors of ourselves, so look within. What you make of your life is up to you. Not what's missing, not what other people want, but up to you. Life is exactly what you think it is. You give meaning to everything you see. Your answers lie within you. You can't find outside of you what you can't find in. And most importantly, you will forget every lesson you've ever learned. And you have, number 12, the ability to remember it whenever you want. These are the 12 lessons of the ferocious Buddha, taken from Sanskrit, the earliest of all education. Make them non-negotiable in your life, and you will be healthy, wealthy, and happy at all times. These lessons will clear away the interference from what you already are. All right, we're loaded up with Q&A. Time to get going. We have IG, we have webinar with over 30,000 registrants here, and of course, Clubhouse. Let me take a question online as we bring up the first guest. Who's the first guest there, Jakey Bakey? You can just tell me. Is it possible to be too patient? And Ryan Gilligan, you're on deck. Is it possible to be too patient? No. It's possible to not be persistent enough to create more interference, voids, and obstacles, but you can never be too patient, because if you know that there is not better than here, which means you're at the right place at the perfect time, you can never be too patient. You can be not active enough, not persistent enough, not happy enough. You can be and spend too much time in ego-based consciousness, creating interference. But patience is the lesson of you will never be less than there. So utilize patience and allowance in order to effectuate the law of Goya and activity that you have. Ryan Gilligan, you got a question for me?
Yeah, I just, I run a couple businesses. I run a tutoring business, and I also run like a leads business, but it seems like I'm struggling to stay motivated, and I would look for different businesses online to start, but it just seems like nothing with what I'm passionate about makes money, you know? So I guess like, what would you like? Cause I don't want to be like the leads guy. I don't want to be the tutoring guy. But I want to find something that I can get kind of behind for business, but I just don't know exactly what that is, how my passion can make money.
Yeah. So first of all, you have to change your perspective of passion. You need to learn to love and be better at what you do, and then allow yourself to teach others the things that you don't do well or that don't pay you. If your personal inventory of values is an activity you get paid for, then prioritize the activity you get paid for, get better at that. You not only will have more time, but you'll have more opportunity and options and more money in order to effectuate hiring other people, scaling, all the things that are necessary. You need clarity, balance, and focus, and taking inventory of your own values to prioritize activity you get paid for, and then effectuate those by leaning in, learning to love that activity so you get paid more to get more time, money, and options to either hire other people, scale your business, create more money. But let's get clear, balanced, and focused. If you're wanting activity that you get paid for, take passion out of it and learn to love what you do that makes the most money, and build and scale from there. And you'll be able to have more options and be able to align with things that aren't as difficult to learn to love, things that may be more naturally capable of loving, but you can learn to love everything. Read Viktor Frankl, Man's Meaning of Life, things like that. You need to change that mindset, utilizing the lesson, right? That your life is what you think it is. What that's also saying is you have the capability to learn to love what you do. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Ryan.
Thanks for that. Thanks.
You got it. Cool. All right. I'm going to take another question online. Appreciate everyone. Put Q&A is loading up. Christina Madrigal, you are next on Clubhouse up for a question. So get ready. Next question online. How can you be sure that you're growing and not staying in the same spot? Okay. So way we're sure that we're growing and we're not staying in the same spot is that there's a comfort zone, there's a learning zone, and there's an anxiety zone. And if you have pain, mistakes, and failures that are contributing to lessons, you're in the learning zone. If you have pain, mistakes, and failures that are closing you down into an anxiety zone, then you're in the anxiety zone. Fear, emotions, overwhelmed, exhausted, sick, your results are showing interference, then you're pushing in the wrong direction. You need to learn a lesson in order to take yourself back to the learning zone. If there are no mistakes, failures, pain, there are no lessons, then you are in the comfort zone and you're staying in the same spot. Pain, mistakes, failures are indicators that you're in the learning zone. Lessons are indicators you're in the learning zone. Living a comfortable existence now has nothing to do with happy. Right? I enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. And there is a lot of pain, mistakes, and failures that I have every day. And I don't allow myself to create interference, anxiety, fear, emotions that are creating interference. I'm constantly trying to learn. If I do get into that ego-based consciousness, I stop, drop, and roll like a ferocious Buddha, utilizing the 12 lessons from Sanskrit of the ferocious Buddha in order to be where I want to be, have that law of gravity that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, learning the lessons to angle to what I want with that inspiration and faith that I'll end up somewhere better. If you don't know that you will know that you are growing when there's mistakes, failures, and lessons. It's an indicator, a good indicator that you're learning. If you are in a zone where that anxiety is greater than the lessons, if your pain is greater than your purpose, then you are in the anxiety zone. If your purpose is greater than the pain, you're in the learning zone. And if you don't feel anything and you're just comfortable, you got to create and push a little bit harder, utilize the law of Goya. Okay, next up, Christina Madrigal on my Clubhouse.
Hello, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Oh, it's so nice to see you. I can actually like see you on Zoom. I'm like doubling up here on Clubhouse. Hello. All right. So my question for you today is, and this is amazing. Thank you so much. The first time I heard about the laws from Sanskrit, I actually wrote it down and put it up on my kitchen. So I look at it every day. So thank you. And so I'm learning a lesson, and I'm learning a repeated lesson right now. And it's a little emotional because my heart hurts right now. And I'm trying to understand how to stay in an open, receptive learning from the lesson, and also, you know, stop, drop, and roll. But I want to make sure that I'm not sticking or avoiding any pain. And I don't really know how to do that. How do you process and understand your pain, but also not hold on to it into your body? Does that question make sense?
It does. So how do we process pain? How do we play with pain? How do we utilize pain so that it's not an anxiety? It's not a stop sign, right? It shouldn't be a stop. It's okay to be emotional, but it's not a stop sign. And the way that we do that is to understand that that pain is turning us to something better. So if we don't feel faith that we have an abundant world where these lessons are only taking us to somewhere better, if we don't have that mindset, then pain can be less than our purpose. What causes a purpose to be greater than our pain? Inspiration, faith. And that faith is very simple. The faith is that we're here to learn lessons. The faith is that all problems go away with the solution. And the only way to find a solution is to learn the lesson. And so when we can put ourselves into the perspective and take our emotions out of it, that we're being punished, that it's shameful, separation, anxiety, fear, guilt, resentment, you know, instead of just, hey, this is why I'm here. I'm a ferocious Buddha. I'm here to learn lessons. And pain, mistakes, and failures are indicated, excitingly enough, indicating that I am going to expand, grow, and accelerate because I'm going to learn a lesson. And now because of the internet and the accessibility of the answers, solutions to those painful questions, it's even easier than it's ever been. I don't have to take lifetimes to learn lessons. I can Google it. And I want everyone to really think about, if you want those lessons, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. So you can go write down those lessons when you're feeling pain, put it up on your refrigerator like Christina does. And when you start feeling pain, just spend minutes and moments though, and use the lessons from Sanskrit, the ferocious Buddha lessons, to walk down them, all 12 of them, to resolve, dissipate, or disappear the interference from what you already are. You already are light, love, and lessons. You've just been given a body to experience it. So we have to prioritize taking care of that body by being healthy. That simple. You're healthy, wealthy. You are everything already. What are you doing to interfere it? And so that pain, go ahead, take that emotion, make the purpose greater than that pain by following the lessons of the ferocious Buddha so that you can grow, accelerate, and learn. Does that sound fair?
Yes. I'm over here crying. No big deal. I love it. Thank you so much.
Don't make me cry. Don't make me cry. You're a blessing. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend and learn many lessons as fast as you can.
You too.
Thank you. All righty. Let me take another one online. Next up on deck here on Clubhouse, though, is Gigi up on our webinar. If you need anything, david@dmeltzer.com. Let me take this question here. When you say people need to understand timing and risk tolerance, what does that mean? Oh, great question. So number one, this is an indicator. It's not what you say, it's what they hear. It's an indicator. Don't speak to people for them to listen to you. Understand what they're listening for. And this is a great question because I'm sure if you're asking what timing and risk tolerance means, that means thousands of other people are wondering what it means as well. So many people ask me for investment advice. And the first answer I always give, regardless of what they want to invest in, NFTs or crypto or real estate or startups or whatever it may be, water, it doesn't matter. I ask them, what is your timing and what is your risk tolerance? So what does timing mean? It means that in the context of your investment, when do you expect a return and at what size? So for example, if I'm investing money into a education fund, my timing may be 18 years because I have a newborn that I'll need the money in 18 years. So I want to have an investment that will result in the highest return in 18 years. Then after I know what investments are good 18-year investments, then I can evaluate through my risk tolerance whether I want zero chance of losing that money. And they can guarantee me a certain percentage over 18 years, knowing that if they give me 1%, it'll double, you know, literally in 72 months or years, whatever the 1% represents. But I need to balance that with the risk, because there could be some that could give me, you know, a million times return. I could buy them, you know, Dogecoin and spend the money over 18 years, and it could be worth $1 billion or zero. So that's the risk tolerance component. So you need to explore your values, expectations of that investment with two things in mind to align, find synergistic supplementary and advice from experts in that specific field. But before you get any advice, know your timing and risk tolerance, and you will have statistical success according to what? Your values, your timing, your risk tolerance. All right, Gigi, you're up.
Hi, David. Speaking of what Christina said, I think you are reversing time because you're looking great. So I have two questions. First of all, you know, we talk about process, and there is a difference of processing things and processing emotions. And you shared last week, you've learned you can't logic your way through emotions. And if you can explain that and expand on that, because I used to use logic, and I wouldn't process emotions until I met you. And I was like, no, no, feeling love is different than understanding that something happens and stuff like that. So that's my first question. And
yeah,
and
so let me take the first one. I'll let you do the second. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, thank you. So, and that's because I'll forget everything that I ever remember. So I'm proving the lessons of Buddha right here. Anyway, for me as a ferocious Buddha, the processing logic can only be utilized to evaluate my values and the activities that are aligned with that. The activity is what will resolve the emotion or the feeling. So you still use logic to figure out your inventory of values and the activities that are aligned, supplementary, or synergistic to those values, but then you're still going to feel the same way. Logic, knowing your values, knowing and processing the information is not going to change the way you feel. But when you utilize what you have found out through your logic and create action or activity, this is what changes the way you feel instantly. When you're in the pursuit of your potential, according to your logic, you can instantly change the way you feel. You can clear the interference. You can spend minutes and moments in ego-based emotion, and instead you can roll in the right direction. So still use your logic to effectuate what action and activity is prioritized or aligned with what you want. But the minute you start that pursuit will be the minute that it clears away that interference and changes the way you feel. Okay, what's the second question, Gigi?
In the hero's journey or in your journey, you have a beginning and the middle. And now the middle is when you left and you're too far away to go back and you go into unknown. You're going to what you call like the quantum realm and stuff like that. And I am there. And what can I do for my logic brain to say it's okay to push forward and have faith? How do I strengthen my faith in it? Because it's like you're lost and you're staring into abyss. And it's like, I'm going to end up in a better place. But your brain is like, this is such an unknown for me. And it goes into between anxiety and learning zone. So how can I stay in the learning zone and not let myself carry away in the anxiety?
So you got to practice. And you not only have to practice stopping when you start feeling the anxiety of any type, any separation, inferiority, superiority, offense, resentment, the need to be right, angry, frustrated, angry, guilty, any of these things, you just got to stop and breathe. So you actually, when we're in ego-based consciousness, when you're in the anxiety zone, all the blood leaves your head. This is the way that we're triggered in our own ego. This is the Freudian fears, flight, feed, fight, or the other F word. And what happens is those are all physical ways to protect our embodiment. So only given one body, all the blood leaves your brain and goes to your body so you can use it to fight, flee, or fight, or feed, right? And instead, give your body time to put the blood back into the brain so we can use our higher level of thinking, our higher selves. So just stop and breathe. Give yourself at least 90 seconds to get out of the anxiety zone, to get back into the learning zone, to create through your non-negotiables, your own inventory of values, activity that will get you most likely to where you want to be or angle towards it. And then you can implement faith when you're not in ego-based consciousness. Faith and ego-based consciousness are counterintuitive and conflictual. You cannot have faith when the blood's out of your brain. So put the blood back into your brain by breathing, getting to center or neutral, by taking 90 seconds, not to resist or fight or flee or feed or the other F word, but just simply breathe, get back to center, get the blood back into your brain, connect through and to the great source of inspiration, light, love, and lessons, and use your higher power of thinking, use your pursuit of your potential in order to effectuate getting back into the learning zone, back into the 12 lessons of the ferocious Buddha to expand and grow. And when you do that, you will have more faith, not only for this time, but the practice of it will put you into a better position next time so that you spend even less time in ego-based consciousness, less times creating interferences, void shortages, and obstacles, less time getting in your own way, and more time realizing that I have these 12 great lessons that everybody can get from me, david@dmelzer.com, in order to effectuate the process of knowing that I live just for an instant, even between limitlessness and infinity, that I have more than enough of everything for everyone. And so do they. Thank you, Gigi, so much. Have a great weekend.
Wow, thank you so much.
You're awesome. All right, we'll take another lesson online, another question online. And Peter, you're on deck on Clubhouse. Hello, everyone with IG. Thank you so much for joining us as well. My eyes just aren't good enough to read those questions. It's a little bit far away, so thanks. Anyway, question. How do we deal with... Hold on, Pete. Yeah, hold on. Mute yourself there, brother. Give me 2 seconds. How do we deal with a boss who's a micromanager? Very specific question. Well, I don't believe someone who is there to teach you and to inspire you and to motivate you and to coach you and to mentor you and to train you could ever micromanage you. You remember one of the lessons is, you know, you give meaning to everything that you see, right? Well, someone who has the perspective that someone's micromanaging them is looking for what they don't want. They're looking for what's missing. Micromanagement to me is somebody caring about making me better, helping me pursue my potential by looking at what I'm doing and utilizing their situation and experience in order to effectuate making me better. And if I feel someone is managing me to a degree that they're paying extra close attention to what I'm doing, I am so grateful that someone would care that much about me, especially if they're a boss who's paying me and doing that, teaching me, mentoring me, and allowing me to get better. But most people, they create resistance, voids, and shortages. They separate themselves. They have a need to be offended and a need to be right. And that ego's in place. And it's, how dare you? I know what I'm doing. I can do it better than anyone. No, you can't. You don't know what you don't know. And the best way to know what you don't know is to find out from someone who probably your boss, who's done it many more times, is trying to teach you the subtleties of success. And your resistance will be your enemy. It will create the void, shortages, and obstacles, and you'll manifest exactly what's missing. You'll manifest exactly what other people want. You should have no attacking thoughts, no judgments or conditions, especially of others who are trying to help you through their mentorship, their teaching, their training. Thank the person when they're paying attention to you. Ask them questions. Be more interested than interesting. Not only will you perform better, but most likely you'll become a boss someday yourself. I love that question. Thank you so much. So many people, it's a classic example of why people don't excel when they're creating void shortages and obstacles, when somebody cares enough about them to help them in a close degree of manner. You worry more when someone's not paying attention to you when they're giving you too much attention. Trust me. All right. My friend Peter, how are you? What question do you have for me on Clubhouse?
We already know that we have to help you with the journey to
empowering million entrepreneurs. We already know that. What else we can do for you to be able to spread the word, spread your wisdom to others, so you know we can reach more people? We already do some of those one inside of our group on the Grow Mastermind, and but still, I was wondering what we can do for you to help you to reach out more people that needs you.
Well, I love it. Well, first of all, you be happy, right? You can't find or give what's not inside of you. So if you're happy, healthy, and wealthy, that helps me, because if I can elevate you, you'll elevate others. The one specific thing you can do to help me is share my content and have others share my content. If you believe, if my content, frequency, vibration, it resonates with you and you believe it'll resonate with others, share it. It scales very well. That's why I put so much free out there. Have them get my book. Give them my book. Have them listen to the podcast. You know, the playbook's out there. There's over 700 and some episodes with not just my experience and playbook to success, but the biggest billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers, people that are self-actualizing, that follow the 12 lessons of the ferocious Buddha so well that they have a desire to be what they must be. I am just grateful that you would even offer. And I'm grateful if you would share as much as you can, have people get, you know, I'll give it to them for free. My exercises, guys, the lessons, share. Thank you so much, Peter. Real quick here, online, and then I'm going to finish up with Shosh Shetty, and say that 10 times fast. He's a love of a person. Shosh Shetty, you'll be up. Let me take a quick question online, and then we'll finish up with Shosh. The question, well, one is, how can someone become my mentee? All you got to do is email me, right? I'll make you and support you with free stuff, with group stuff, with one-on-one, whatever's great for you. I am looking for people to mentor at all times. That's why I have all this material out there to help you. I'm accessible in a group format and one-on-one. Please, david@dmeltzer.com. I would love it. Advice for an aspiring keynote speaker, just learn these lessons and then tell stories to teach them. Learn the 12 lessons of Buddha from Sanskrit and then tell your stories, your frequency, your vibration to teach. Everybody has different spectrum. Everybody has different frequency. Everybody resonates with different people. There's 4.6 billion, maybe 7 now, and growing to allow that to happen. Please learn these lessons and tell your stories to teach them. People love stories. That's how they learn. We can do this together. Okay, my friend, it's the last question of the day. I want to thank everybody in the Q&A. I want everyone to reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com, for whatever you need. Shosh Shetty, last question of the day.
Oh, fantastic. How are you doing, David? Great to be here.
Great to see you. What's up?
Very well. And by the way, you said Shosh Shetty perfectly, because that is a very much a tongue twister. So well done with that. I'm tuning in here from London, so hopefully I'm audible. But I really just wanted to tap into the aspect of the ego. And particularly, I saw a clip you posted around, you know, people having, from an energy perspective, with a chip on your shoulder. And I'd really be interested to get your take. And I think, you know, we're sports people that I'm sure you get a lot of athletes that come to you and being how to utilize or manage the ego. And a lot of people feel like that they almost have a point to prove and it motivates them, or the coach that comes into the dressing room, puts a newspaper article out where the press is, and it motivates the team. And I'd be really interested to get your take if, you know, people who do use that to try and prove people wrong, a chip on your shoulder, is that taking more energy? And are there more resourceful ways of motivating you towards your goal?
This is a great question, because it's the difference between motivation and inspiration. Ego, triggers of ego and ego itself can absolutely motivate you. But motivation only gets you up, gets you back up, gets you started, and gets you back started. See, it's not going to get you there, because the ego, these hyper energetic things that get us emotionally tied, they suck the soul dry of its energy. But if you can learn to transition motivation into inspiration, if you can learn to get up quicker and harder and build more momentum, then transcend the momentum through you to others via inspiration, in spirit, allowing you to know and use that motivation to clear the interference to allow you to be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful, more productive, provide more value, more accessible to your teammates and accessing what you need, more access to the downloads of intuition through inspiration. And then finally, allowing you, what inspiration allows you most to be is gracious. It gives you the power to get out of your own way. Gratitude allows you to find the light, the love, and the lessons. It clears away and allows you to be what you already are. And so many people cannot decipher the difference between the motivation of having a chip on your shoulder, or being angry, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful, separate, inferior, superior, egotistical, flight, feed, fight, or the other. They can't take the motivation and transcend it into inspiration. So what happens is they have very high, high, and then a very low, low. And they end up living the myth of Sisyphus. They end up using the motivation to push a boulder to the top of the hill, and then it's back to the bottom the next day. And pretty soon it wears out and they quit. Instead of those people that when they're in their own way, they use the chip on their shoulder to get themselves up or get back up in order to clear away the interference so they can continue a journey of inspiration, continue the ability to find the light, the love, and the lessons and everything, to enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of their own potential. So understand that a chip on your shoulder is fine, but only use it for motivation and utilize it so that you can transcend that inertia of energy into inspiration. Motivation will get you up. Inspiration will get you there. Thank you so much. What a great question to end on. Thank you, Shosh. Thank you, everyone. Remember the 12 lessons of the ferocious Buddha taken down from the ancient Sanskrit, everything from your body and lessons to the humility, seeing and looking within yourself. Great lessons for everyone. Please come back next Friday. If not, please listen to the playbook. All of the trainings are on the playbook in perpetuity. You can access it on Spotify. There's a special training playlist, Apple, Google, Entrepreneur as playlist, playbook. Download the playbook, share it and like it. If you want my book, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want the lessons, david@dmeltzer.com. If you need my help, david@dmeltzer.com. I am blessed to do this every Friday for over 20 years. This has been an amazing day. I so appreciate everyone. Remember, most importantly, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. We'll see you later. Have fun. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you'd like. My only ask is you help me empower others to empower others to be happy.